Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. It's Friday, BBC Radio Stoke, and a massive day for all Beatles fans around the world. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the White Album, and we're so, so lucky. Joining us now on the show from America, a lady that spent 6 years working with the Maharishi, and of course was the main influence on the Beatles songwriting for this album, Susan Shumsky. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really happy to be here with you today, Louise.
Oh, so am I. I've been looking forward to this all week. And it's a real wow, isn't it? The 50th anniversary. This must bring back so many memories for you.
For sure, because I spent 22 years in Maharishi's ashrams and worked with him intimately for 6 years on his personal staff.
I mean, not many people can say that, can they?
No, not very many, that's for sure.
And he was the founder, of course, of Transcendental Meditation. Yes. Were you a part of that? Did you see that developing?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I began practicing Transcendental Meditation in 1967 in August, the summer of love. And then the Beatles learned a few weeks after I did. They met Maharishi on August 24th of 1967 at the Park Hilton Hotel in London.
And what was that meeting like when they first met?
They were very favorably impressed with what they saw during the lecture that Maharishi gave. And then they met him afterwards backstage. And they expressed to him that they were seeking spiritual experiences and that they had tried to do it through LSD and these psychedelic drugs. But it didn't really work out for them. And I have to say, it didn't work out for me either. I tried that, too.
And it was a no.
Yeah, no. And Maharishi said that it was very great, very laudable that the youth of today want to experience higher consciousness, but they are definitely misdirected through trying to do it through drugs. So he invited them to learn Transcendental Meditation. He told them to come with him. He was traveling to Bangor, North Wales to do a meditation retreat, and it would be a 10-day retreat. And so the Beatles actually traveled with him on the train and went up to Bangor and learned TM there.
I mean, it didn't take long until people started calling him the Beatles guru. They spent a lot of time together, didn't they?
Yes. The Beatles were very keen on the experience of Transcendental Meditation. As a matter of fact, John suggested that they take a tour to, quote-unquote, turn on everyone to TM. That didn't quite happen, but Maharishi did invite them to come to Rishikesh, to his ashram there in the Himalayan foothills. In February of 1968, they showed up at the ashram.
I mean, they said this was a huge impact on writing the White Album. I mean, a lot of hardcore Beatles fans will stand by this is the best album that the Beatles ever did. And when they recorded it as well, this was all, obviously, it's the 50th anniversary, so the recording was between May and October. So before they actually came back to London, it was all in the EMI and the Trident Studios. Most of the songs that they wrote were actually on this meditation course, weren't they, which was earlier on in the year?
That's right. As a matter of fact, they wrote about 40 songs when they were in Rishikesh with Maharishi. And although John claims that he wrote hundreds of songs, he said that it was like a big brass band going on in his head all the time, and he was going hummity, hummity. And the songs were just pouring out of him. So it was an extremely creative period for the Beatles in that atmosphere where they were far away from Beatlemania. They were in this quiet retreat. And so they spent a lot of time writing music.
With BBC Radio Stoke celebrating the 50th anniversary of the White Album, of course, from the Beatles. And if you are just joining us, I managed to catch up with a lady in America called Susan Shumsky, and she'd spent 22 years living in the ashrams with the Maharishi. And of course, we know the main influence of the White Album was from the Maharishi, and the Beatles had moved in with them as well. But at home, I mean, newspaper articles, all the clippings that I've read, it started filtering through that there were a lot of arguments once the lads had got back into the recording studios, and also problems as well. They had studio rules And Yoko Ono was rumoured to be a big problem because the lads didn't want her there. I don't know if it was true and how chaotic it got.
There was a lot of drama that was going on in reference to the White Album, and a lot of it had to do with Yoko being in the studio. And those who are in the know, who were there, they say it definitely was Yoko, was the cause of the conflict.
Like when you're looking at the production of the album as well, a lot of musicians, again, we have a lot of bands that come into the show and they love the Beatles. They would love your opinion on this because when you look at the different tracks on the White Album, they think it got to be, you know, every single individual Beatle was putting their own song forward. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, this was not so much a Beatles album as a compilation of various Beatles album. For example, you know, George Harrison with Long, 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 and Still My Guitar, Gently Weep, and of course, Paul with Blackbird, you know, and so on. And so, yeah, they were very separate kind of things.
Yeah, because when you look at it, I'm looking down the A side and the B side now, and it's probably blindingly obvious when you are going from back in the USSR, Glass Onion, then Oh Bloody Blada, you're thinking this sounds obviously like they're coming up with very individual sounds. So you think the singles are all just placed side by side?
Yes, it's kind of like that. Yes, they, in fact, not all the Beatles were actually doing it at the same time on that particular album. But definitely it was, the entire album was very, very much influenced by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And the lyrics to the songs definitely coming from the ashram, coming from their experiences with Maharishi.
Can you give us an insight into, you know, some of the perhaps hidden meanings to us? Because with you spending so many years there, you must listen to it completely differently than us and go, I know what that means.
Yes, for sure. For example, everyone's got something to hide except me and my monkey. That consists of expressions that Maharishi always used to say. For example, whenever he would ask somebody to meet with him, he would say, come, or come on. And also he would say all the time, it's such a joy. And one of his favorite expressions was, take it easy, take it as it comes. So, and then the rest of the song, you know, deeper you go, higher you fly, that's all about meditation, inside is out, outside is in. And then the monkey, according to John Lennon, was Yoko Ono. So that's the meaning of that particular song.
There seems to be a fascination with happiness is a warm gun. And again, I'm you know, saying the hardcore Beatles fans, that seems to be, you know, the one that people will say, well, I love the Beatles, but happiness is a warm gun is my ultimate favourite. Why do you think that is?
I mean, he was anti-war, John Lennon. He was definitely a hippie. So was I, flower child. And he was trying to espouse the anti-war kind of protest sentiment that we had in the 1960s. For example, Revolution, which he wrote, was definitely an anti-Vietnam War song, but it had a much deeper meaning, that particular song. And that is that Maharishi used to always say, for the forest to be green, all the trees in the forest must be green. For the world to be at peace, the individuals in the world must be at peace. So Maharishi's main message was really world peace. And he was trying to achieve that. And Maharishi believed that world peace could never be achieved on the level of signing treaties or anything political, or certainly not through war. That the only way that peace could be achieved is if enough people would meditate. And Maharishi believed that only a small percentage of the population meditating, especially if they would meditate in large groups, would create world peace. That's what this song was about, Revolution.
BBC Radio, so almost time for the 80s mixtape. But yeah, if you're into the Beatles and just join us, just in the nick of time. I caught up with an amazing woman in America, actually. She's called Susan Shumsky, and she's just written a book called The Maharishi and Me. And it's such a big week, isn't it, for Beatles fans really across the world as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the White Album. Now, she'd actually spent, 22 years of her life working with the Maharishi, living in the ashrams as well, but 6 years when they were under the influence of the Maharishi. The Beatles wrote the White Album, and he said really she knew all the hidden meanings behind every single sentence. But I'd mentioned earlier as well, like the reports that we were getting back here, I read a lot of music books as well. We were hearing that there's huge arguments going on, and Ringo had left for a bit. Yoko was hanging around, that was getting on everybody's nerves. George Martin then left suddenly, the engineer had left. And we wanted to find out if this was all true.
Ringo left after 10 days. And the reason he left was because mainly because he missed his kids. He had a very small child at home who was only 6 months old. But also, he couldn't handle the food. He had had childhood peritonitis, so he had problems with his stomach. His wife hated the insects. It was the jungle. There was tarantulas. There was millipedes, centipedes, you know, all these bugs. And she hated them, and she was scared of them, too. So, you know, he left after 10 days, and he enjoyed it. He said only positive things about it. Paul McCartney left after 5 weeks, and the reason he left was because his girlfriend, who he had come with, who was Jane Asher, she had a theatrical commitment in London. She had to get back to that. So they had to leave. And once again, very positive experiences. Paul had only positive things to say. It was John and George that stayed for 2 months. And they really got into the deep meditation, and they were very sincere and trying to learn as much as they could from Maharishi. And of course, George was the most committed to the whole thing.
Was he the best meditator though, Susan?
Well, strangely enough, Maharishi had a different idea.
Ah, okay.
This is what he said. This was Maharishi's impressions of the Beatles. He said, Ringo is always in meditation and goes by feeling and heart. But as for the other Beatles, too much brain is in the way.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was perhaps free of thought. So he was just doing it as he went along his normal day.
Just innocence, you know. And then Maharishi said, of all the Beatles, George is the most advanced, and this is his last life. And then he said about John has many more to go and must not give in to his weakness for women, or it will ruin him.
Gosh. Now, had he already met Yoko at this point, or had he sort of had a one-to-one conversation with John about this?
No, Maharishi had never met Yoko. Although she did go to that lecture at the Hilton Hotel, and then after the lecture, she jumped into John and Cynthia's limousine and wedged herself between John and Cynthia.
Did she now?
I mean, she was pursuing John relentlessly. And when John was in India, John moved out of his quarters with Cynthia a couple weeks after they arrived in India so that he could daily revel in telegrams and letters that were arriving in India from Yoko. So he was already obsessed with Yoko when he was in India. And it was heartbreaking for Cynthia because she had thought this was going to be a second honeymoon for them. And there she was, her husband basically ignored her the entire time they were in India. It was terrible for Cynthia.
Yeah, it must have been an awful time. And then, like you said, for this huge influence to come into all of their lives as well. But what a prediction from the Maharishi to make, you know, of John.
Yes, I think that was fascinating.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I think you're fascinating, and I would love to talk to you all day. You've been incredible. What an insight. And you've got a new book out. I know you've got 14 books already, haven't you? The new one is The Maharishi and Me.
Yeah, Maharishi and Me, Seeking Enlightenment with the Beatles Guru is my new book.
I can't wait to read it because I know there's going to be more revelations to come. Susan, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I really enjoyed speaking with you.